Good morning. My name is Dan Adams. I'm from the Webb City, Missouri congregation, and I'm glad to be here at Monarch once again. Desire and interest in your prayers and in your attention. I'm glad that we can be on the winning side this morning, and I'm very interested in standing still and seeing God move. I appreciate the songs, appreciate the ones that brought us the special songs and those that participated in our song service this morning. I feel like that's a very essential part of our worship service. I'd like for us maybe to sing another song here, if Brother Ronald or someone could start us with number 468. I think we all know that song. I'd like for us to sing number 468. I'd like to write something on the board. Thank y'all for singing that. I'm interested this morning and through this camp meeting time this year of God sending His power down in our midst and in our presence. I'm not interested in this going up or down in history as being a just a mediocre meeting. I'm interested in this being a powerful demonstration of God's presence.
Amen.
And I trust you all had a good night of refreshing sleep and your minds are alert. I'm not intending to put us back in the classroom, but I have a little something here that I trust that you'll be able to get the point. All right? I'm going to make some probably pretty broad or general statements, and I'd like for you to accept them. At least for the sake of the discussion this morning, if you want to visit with me about it later, you certainly may. What I have put on the board is that power is congruent to wattage. And watts are is equal to volts times amps or current. This is part of the laws of electricity. And amps or current is equal to voltage divided by resistance. And then I've put Ohm's law for a parallel circuit on there, which in words it says the reciprocal of the total resistance is equal to the sums of the individual reciprocals of the individual resistors. And that goes on infinitely. As many individual resistors there is in a parallel circuit, the board's not big enough. It can go all the way around the campgrounds and keep going, all right? So as we go into this, trust that you won't just shut down on me, but try to think about the element that's involved here. This song that Brother Phillips wrote, I don't know how many years ago, but as I look at the words in this song, it says, as we gather here in thy presence, Lord, on consecrated holy ground. Yes. We are always in God's presence.
Yes.
Anywhere we are. But today, we have all chosen to be here in this place. These grounds have been consecrated for the Lord's use. Amen. This is not the home of the four-state dog show or anything like that. These are consecrated for this purpose that we are participating in today. All right? So as we, I don't know, someone else might know what year this song was composed, but I have to think that he possibly had something in his mind as a particular place that his mind goes back of witnessing the power of God being manifested at a particular place. I believe that it would be applicable to any place that God's people meet together. It's been consecrated. But today, I'd like for us to think about this place and what it means. We want the power of the Lord to come down in our midst. And as one might easily conceive in your mind, the subject of increasing power has been a hot topic around the dinner table at my house since I had four sons in my home, and it still is something we can gravitate to relatively easy. But so we've had discussions about this, and what is the component that we get down to that will actually produce more power? We're interested. There's some things that are not adjustable, at least not in our capabilities, and the voltage potential that's available with access to God is limitless. All right? It doesn't matter how many of us are in a parallel circuit with one another, all connected to the Heavenly Father. It doesn't matter how many of us are connected that way. There's plenty of voltage for all of us. All right? I want you to keep that in mind. Down through time, there has been a number of individuals that have, the power of God has been manifested through their lives on an individual basis. We can look in the Scripture and we find those like David. And through the power of God, took on Goliath. And he set a curve. There was a demonstration. People began to rejoice and met him dancing in the street and began to laud his abilities. And David became a well-accepted leader amongst the people. Then there was a man by the name of Elijah. Seemed to single-handedly take on the whole entire tribe of the prophets of Baal. And at his command, it seems to be, although I believe the Lord directed him and anointed him to do this, that fire fell from heaven and consumed the fire, the offering, the sacrifice there. And then as we go down through time, we find John the Baptist in a world that was looking for something entirely different. He began to preach, repent and be baptized. A powerful man. People began to wonder if he wasn't the Christ. And then obviously Jesus Christ came, took on the form of flesh, dwelt among us. No one has ever impacted mankind with the level of God's power that Jesus Christ did. And since the time of Christ, there has been others, reformers, we say. There have been those, maybe you would call out their names and say something like Luther or Wesley or Huss or D.S. Warner, or I don't know what name you would put in there, but there's been individuals that have stood out as powerful men of God. And they have been able to, with the help of the Lord, direct this power. And it really impacted the hearts and lives of men. We have a book that we sing from, and it says on the front, Evening Light Songs. But we know that in the evening time, whatever illumination there is, sometimes it can be very easily to see and discern what's going on, and other times the light can be kind of dim and shadowy. But we know that when it comes towards the end of the day, that the evening light is going to ultimately dissipate. It's going to be gone. We're coming to the end. So I believe when we take on this name, it's been on our songbooks for many years. When we take this on, we recognize we're living in the end of the gospel dispensation. Eternity is looming ahead of us. I don't believe today, this is one of my general statements or broad statements, I don't believe we can look forward to another Reformation. I'm not looking forward to an individual that spearheads a worldwide revival. All right? I'm not looking forward to that. I'm not anticipating it happen. But I believe that God wants His power to be manifested amongst His people. Sometimes when we come to camp meeting, I think that it's possible for us to come here wanting to see the fireworks. You know, the 4th of July in our nation is a time when most of the municipalities around us will have a fireworks demonstration. We can go there. There's no bombs being discharged at all. There's no shells being fired, but sometimes it sounds like they are. There's a lot of visual aids. There's a lot of sparkling things and lights flashing, and sometimes there's a cloud of smoke, and through the smoke here comes a scene of something lit up. And I wonder sometimes, as individuals, did we come here to see the smoke and the fire and hear the bang and go away and say, wow, that was powerful? I want to tell you, if you're looking for me to be able to make the big bang or give the big smoke or something like that, you're going to be disappointed. I don't have it in me. But I believe as a body of people here this morning that it's available. I believe that the same God that met my parents, my grandparents, our spiritual ancestors here for a long time now, a lot longer than my lifespan is, I believe that He would like to meet us here today. And I believe that God wants His power and His anointing to smell in our assemblies. I believe that He wants to touch lives and heal broken hearts and heal physical bodies and restore right thinking in your head if it's mixed up. I believe the Lord wants to reveal Himself in our midst just like He always has. I believe it's been God's will and His purpose from the beginning of time that mankind would individually follow Him. And not just follow somebody that's connected to Him. It's time in our day, in our age, to look to ourselves and ask, Lord, what is it about me that could increase the power? You want to go to camp meeting and cause people to be impacted by the power of God and go home and say that truly God was in that place. I want to tell you, you're part of it. If you come here and you're not in a position to deliver your part, the power is diminished. The power is diminished. But if you have come here and said, Lord, whatever it is, if it's just a rod that I got in my hand, if it's a farthing that I have, I want to put it in there. You know my heart. You know all about it. You know, heard the message last night. God knows the value of what everyone here can contribute. And if you are willing to contribute it, the power potential here is incredible, so stay with me. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I'd like to begin reading in the first verse. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Did you get it? It's in you. It has to be in you and I individually. It's not them. It's not him. It's not her. It's in you. That's where the power is going to come from today. He says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. There is grace enough for every one of us. It says here, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He wants to give us power. I'd like for us to go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And notice here the tenth, beginning in the tenth verse. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The power of His might. There are some things about electricity that you just don't mess with. The two wires that's up there on the pole, if I'm not mistaken, there are 7,200 volts on those, 7,200 volt line. And if you try to go up there and twist your extension cord onto that, you're going to be crispy. Especially if there's a path to ground. And if you did get it hooked up and you plugged it in to your device, it wouldn't last. When I was in high school, I was with a group of my classmates, and we were visiting the local fire department. And during the course of being there, one of them decided to plug in that we were doing a fundraiser thing, and we stayed up all night rocking in a rocking chair. Anyway, that's another story. But during the course of being there, someone decided to plug in their radio, and because it gets pretty sleepy during the night, and they plugged their radio in, but they went over to this outlet on the wall that was painted red. And it looked just like the 110-volt outlet, but it wasn't 110-volt. And back then, the devices weren't voltage-friendly. Anyway, they plugged their radio in and turned it on, and it worked for just a moment. And I can't remember if smoke came out of it or not, but it quit. And then they determined that they had plugged it into a plug that someone had wired up to 220 volts, twice as much power as it ought to be. Wasn't equipped for that, you see. We want the power to be effectual. We want it to be able to do the work that it's intended to do. We don't want it to flame out or short circuit. So, he says here, "Finally, my brethren, being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The devil is tricky. He's all around us. He wants to cry that there's no such thing as the power of God now. It's like the scripture in Proverbs, I believe, that says that the buyer says, it is not, and then when he goes his way, he brags. The devil wants to go around and say, it don't happen anymore. The power is not there. They're brother this or brother that or sister so-and-so, they're not here. So we're living a different age. The power of God is just not there for mankind. It's the devil, see? He's going around saying, it's not. And as soon as you succumb to his nonsense and his racket that he's putting out there, as soon as you say, you got a point. This brother or that, they're not there anymore. And, you know, we've got some this year that were here last year that's not here right now. Well, because brother so-and-so is not here, the power, it just won't be the same. I want to tell you, the power of God is the same. It's the same today. It's available to us. It wants to be manifested in our midst. And if we allow it and put ourselves in a position in the formula that we're going to get to with the help of the Lord, I believe that we'll be able to see the manifestation just like we always have. Amen. But if we listen to the garbage the devil has got and listen to him say it, it's not going to happen, then what's going to happen is he's going to go off chuckling, knowing that he's got another one's tricked and sabotaged. And he effectually has diminished the power of the group. He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." I'm not going to try to comment on all of these verses, but you know what they mean. You know what they're saying to us. It is time for us as individuals to be fully equipped with all of the armor for offense and defense. Many times we focus on defense and forget there's an offense. But may we be prepared and equipped so that the power of God can be manifested in our hearts and in our lives. Paul's challenge was to the group, to everybody. He says, "Brethren and sisters," I believe, all of us today, let's be prepared and put on the whole armor of God. Now, we put this on the board up here, and maybe it looks like a bunch of gobbledygook to you, but I get something out of it, so I'm going to try to help you get something out of it. We said that the potential from God is consistent. It's the same. It doesn't diminish with time. It doesn't diminish because of the age we live in. It's not because the devil has got bigger and badder or anything like that. The potential of God's power is available. All of it is still available to us today. So if we take that and put that in our equation, and we want to increase the power, we realize that to increase the power, you know how algebra works. If one of them is constant, then the other has got to go up to make that go up, right? All right. So if that's got to go up and we come back and we plug that constant back in over here, we said that's going to stay the same, right? Then what we have to do, anytime the denominator decreases, your answer increases. All right? So we got to decrease the resistance. The bulbs in this building, I happen to know that most of them are a minimum of 150 watts. You probably wouldn't want to put any of those in your house. But some of them are 200 watts, and one of them is zero this morning. But you know, if we put 25-watt bulbs in here, all except one 200-watt, and let the sun go down this evening, it'd be very discernible which one was the 200-watt. But did you know that every one of these bulbs are on a parallel circuit? They have the same access to the voltage that the next door neighbor does. Every one of them does. Even that one that's burnt out up there. And I don't know what caused it to burn out. And I don't know what causes individuals to burn out or quit illuminating. But it happens. It happens, unfortunately. It's still there. I'm pretty sure if you took the globe down, there's still a bulb, what looks like a bulb in there. But there's no light coming out of it. There's no wattage. There's no manifestation of the potential that's available to us. And many times in life we find that it looks like there could be more power demonstrated. Well, why isn't it? And many times it's because the resistance went up. And when the resistance goes up, the amps go down. And when the amps go down, the power goes down. You know what happened to the bulb? It has infinite resistance. If you put an ohm meter across it, it would say OL. Infinity. Mega ohms of some astronomical number. It's so resistance to so much resistance to power that no current flows. But as the resistance goes down, the current goes up. And as the current goes up, I'll tell y'all a little experiment you can do. Y'all want to see the power go up? It'll only happen for a short period of time. Take you as something small. You children, probably parents, watch your children after this. Take you a light bulb and peck a hole in it so you can let atmospheric air come in there and screw it in. Just maybe you want to screw it in first. Peck a little hole in it. And then get ready and watch that bulb and turn it on. And it'll be kind of bright, and then it'll get really bright just before it burns out. And what happens is it allows it to get hotter. It's not insulated in there. And the wattage goes up for momentarily. The Lord wants us. You know why light bulbs give light off? Because that little element in there made out of some kind of tungsten, unobtainium or something, is glowing white hot. That's why we get light out of it. Glowing, not just hot enough to, ooh, that's warm. No, if you touch that filament, it's going to leave a mark on you. You're going to have to heal up after that. How much power is being demonstrated on it? If we just had one bulb in here, would it be very light after dark? Wouldn't be, would it? But think about all of the bulbs that screwed in, and you know, incandescent lighting is kind of on the way out. But the point is, the more wattage, it doesn't matter if you got LEDs, the more wattage you have, the more illumination that there is. And the more individual, if you ever look at LEDs, there's a bunch of them little critters on there. And you get more light out of it. It takes a bunch of us, you see? It takes every one of us. I don't know what your little widow's mite is. I know what mine is sometimes, and I feel like that's all I'm putting in is just a couple little mites. But the Lord knows the value of that. And when you put yours in, and I put mine in, and everyone here puts theirs in, the visitors or anybody, us included, we're going to go away saying, truly the Lord met us in that place. Truly the power of God was there. That's what we want, is it not? I'd like to go to Philippians, the second chapter. Begin reading in the 12th verse. He says here, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. An individual experience with the Lord is essential. You know, most of y'all know my brother-in-law, Clifford Cole. I'll go ahead and I don't think I'll embarrass him. But anyway, he makes drawings, detailed steel. And I don't know any details about his job. I just know that's what he does. I know when he gets finished and prints off what he's done, it there's a blueprint there. And he has to be very careful in drawing this up because somebody else is depending on his blueprint to make a part that they're going to haul to some end destination and expect it to bolt up to something that's already there. Yeah. And here's the thing. There's a blueprint in the Scripture for us to follow. There's a plan of salvation. But if I don't drill the holes according to God's blueprint, and if I don't weld on the brackets that He wants me to weld on, and if I don't trim the edges like He wants me to, when I come to an assembly like this, it's not going to fit. I can work out my own little brand of salvation and feel satisfied, but if it's not according to God's blueprint, the power is not going to be increased. Some of the young people have played an instrument. And I've witnessed this where they have been given a piece of music. You know, music is a universal thing. Doesn't matter what language you speak. If somebody hands you a piece of music and you know how to play the instrument, you can practice that music and you can come together in a foreign land, not be able to communicate verbally with the fellow that's sitting next to you, and you can play that piece of music and it can be harmonious. Yes. All right? So, give you a piece of music and this sister over here a piece of music, and y'all go home and practice on your instrument. And we come together and the conductor is going to get up there and, are everybody ready to start? At the beginning of the meeting, we're anticipating the start. Sometimes when the song leader starts, we can tell we're not with him. We're out of time a little bit. We all know the song, right? In our song service. Sometimes we have to stop. All right, I'm going to have to get in time or get on the same pitch as the song leader. You know, when we have worked out an experience of salvation according to God's blueprint, when we come together in an assembly with other of God's people, there may have to be just a little bit of, I need to speed up a little bit or slow down a little bit, or I need to raise my pitch a little bit. But you know, we're going to know the same tune. We're going to have to be able to play together. And you can play your low brass, or someone else can play their woodwind, so to speak, and it will be beautiful music. Yes. And there will be power, that comes down from God. There will be fire from heaven that will burn up the sacrifices, consume the dross, lick up the water, the stones, everything else. And the people will have to say, that was truly the manifestation of the power of God. So work out your salvation according to God's blueprint. I'd like to go to the book of Mark and notice an account here of the parable that Jesus gave, I believe, in Mark, the 4th chapter. Begin reading in the 14th verse. Says, the sower sowed the word, and these are they by the wayside which the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in your hearts. That's the devil coming by and saying, nah, it don't happen anymore. It's not. I wouldn't put any time, I wouldn't invest any effort in that. That was two generations ago. He'll tell you that if you listen. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, so endure, but for a time afterward. And when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. There's a lot of cares in this old world. A lot of things that'll steal the blessings you received in camp meeting away from you. And it'll cause you to come to camp meeting again and realizing you don't have what you left with. But I will tell you this morning, I believe in an experience where you can come back year after year and recognize I'm gaining ground by the grace of God. My contact with God is increasing. The power is increasing in my life. I have victories today that I didn't have last year, last week, or whenever. I am gaining ground by the help of the Lord. I'm not talking about being lifted up in yourself. I'm talking about recognizing that God is being able to help you make progress in your walk with Him. And then we notice the next verse, he says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. I want to tell you that the Lord, when we make connections with Him, the Lord is able to demonstrate His power, and it is not His will that we begin to compare ourselves among ourselves and wish that we all could be a 60-fold producer or a 100-fold producer. But Lord, help me to do what I can do that's in my ballpark. What I'm connected with. So, the scripture in Ecclesiastes that I like to use so much says, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. That's all the Lord's asking out of me. That's all He's asking out of you. What your hand finds to do, do it. If you got a rod in your hand, if you got two mites, if you got a farthing, if you got a sparrow, whatever it is, if you got a whole pocket full, put it in to consecrating it to the Lord's use. Look at what He can do. You might go home and take one of those LED lights apart and look inside. Let's see all of those little bitty LEDs in there. I think it'd do you some good to think. Each one of them is almost nothing by themselves. But when they put together, look at the light that comes out. 2 Timothy, 1st chapter. Notice what the Apostle Paul says to this young man. Second Timothy chapter 1, 7th verse. Says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. We are to be given power.
Yes.
Not one person that shoots the big gun. But we, as a people, today, are to be given power over the principalities, over the rulers of the darkness of this world, over the devices of the enemy that wants to sabotage our faith and our confidence. I believe there's power available today for us to live a victorious life. And I believe if we will begin to examine our lives, where are we? I'm just an individual down here. You are too. And I find that there's every one of us recognizes that there's some resistance in us. And as we begin to examine our resistance factor to God and His Spirit and His power, when we begin to analyze, where am I in my walk with the Lord? Have I developed so much resistance and so much corrosion in my contact with God that there's no current flow? Have I just got a moderate amount because I don't want too much power to be demonstrated? My utility bill might go up. I might be asked to do something else. You know, I worked for a place years ago now that there was a fellow who was well respected in the community and worked up in the office where the air conditioning was, and he got to do all the smiling and shaking hands and all of that stuff. And I come to find out that he had started out back there washing the dirty ones. And as time had went on, he put his hand to what he could find to do. And as time went on, he ended up being one up there in a glass office in the front. He wasn't the owner of the place, but he had went way up the ladder. He was willing to do whatever his hand found to do. And you know, sometimes we draw back thinking, well, boy, if I'm willing, there'll be another job. That's true. That's true. But you know, there's plenty of power for that. There's plenty of grace for that. There's plenty of the enablement of the Spirit of God to help us in whatever that is. But don't be afraid to lower your resistance. You may think, well, I've heard these things, but you know, I just don't want to go that far. I'm going to tell you, you expect to see the fireworks. You expect to see the deliverance. You expect to see the real help to men. So all of us is going to run into those snags in life where I need some help. This is bigger than me. And we want the Lord to come to our rescue then. We want the Lord to come to... We want the power of God to be accessible through His people. This morning, I want you to know you can be part of that people. You can be part of that power equation. And as you lower your resistance to the working of the Spirit, and you lower your resistance to God's power being demonstrated in your life, the ultimate thing is the total resistance goes down. And the light gets brighter and brighter. There's more current flow. There's more of God's power flowing through each and every one of us collectively. And the light gets brighter and brighter. A city. The Scripture talks about being set on a hill. It'll work that way. Notice the words of another song. Try to bring our thought to a close this morning. Number 484. It says, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell." Now what was the verse we read? "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love." He wants to give us the power, the spirit of love. His love. And His love says that it goes beyond the high star and reaches to the lowest hell. Doesn't matter where we're at, it'll reach us. It'll reach them. It'll reach the ones that's a trial on you and me. You know, people are a trial on me too. We all have people that are trials on us. But the Lord can reach them. Through love. Through the power of God. Through the love of God. That should be, could be, wants to be manifested through each and every one of us. And then it says here, this given unto us the spirit of fear is not given unto us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. Have you ever just had your mind kind of rattled and you really hardly don't know what to think or hardly know which end is up? You know, the Lord wants to give us a soundness. He wants to level us out. I'd like to look at another verse here in 2 Timothy real quickly. Very common verse. Very essential verse. 2:15. Says, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, we make mistakes in our everyday temporal life when our thinking gets rattled. And people are maybe putting pressure on us, and maybe we feel pressure because of circumstances and time constraints and expenditures and all of those things. We begin to feel that we realize we're not functioning to capacity. And right then, many times, is when we make the bad decision. Right then is when we make the bad choice. He says, though, that we don't need to be ashamed. That He can help. We need to study to show ourselves approved, and He can help us, I believe, rightly divide the word. He can give us a sound mind where we can look at life, look at our dilemmas. Lord, help me. I want my resistance to the power of God to diminish. I know there's times, there's been times, there's things today that I'm sure every one of us would recognize the Lord's working on me. There's something here that I need to yield to Him. See, that's some resistance to His power. But as you yield to Him and lower that resistance, the power is going to go up. Maybe you're not a formula person. And you know, I know people that says algebra don't make sense. I'm going to tell you, it works. It just works. And when you start putting it in over here, it'll work. When you start lowering your resistance to the Lord and begin to allow Him to work in your life, the power is going to go up. It's going to happen. But the more you pull back and the more resistance you put on it, the power is going to go down. And when the power goes down, you're going to wonder, well, why can't they pray for me and things change in my life? Folks, part of the blame is on us as individuals. I want to have the power in my life, but I want you to have it too. Yes. Pray for me.